Good morning. We are so excited to be with you today to worship together. And especially if you're a visitor here, we want you to know that we are honored to have you with us today. My sister Hannah attends Camp Rock Creek in Norman, Oklahoma each summer with her husband Casey, who is the director there. This past camp session in June, Hannah shared an incident that happened at camp that was very special. There were several kids who were approaching Casey and were asking him about foot washing. In response to this, during one of the nighttime devotionals, which during this time, what they do is the younger kids will go back to their cabins, and then the older kids will have a time of a very spiritual, a very serious focus on spiritual things. And so what Casey and Hannah did was they took two or three tubs of water, and they had towels that were available and soap. And what Casey said to the kids is this: look, I just want for us at this time to have the opportunity, if you want to wash someone's foot or if you want someone to wash your foot, then you can do that. This is strictly on a volunteer basis. No one is compelled in any way to do this. When the kids began to wash each other's feet, by the time everything was over with, everyone there was crying, including the adults. Why do you think that was? Our text this morning comes from John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 20. Before we do that, just some quick background information on what's happening. Jesus' three-year ministry is drawing to a close. In just a few short hours, he will be crucified, and he shares a final meal with his disciples. John chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing to you, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter answered him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Jesus is sharing a meal with his 12 apostles. And something remarkable, something beautiful happens. In verses 1 through 3, John wants us to understand how highly exalted Jesus was. He says that Jesus came from God and that Jesus was going back to God. He said that God had put all things into his hands. And he says that Jesus loved his own to the very end. Now, why does John do this? John wants us to see how highly exalted Jesus was so that we can fully appreciate what he is about to do in the following verses. Verse 4 says that Jesus rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Jesus takes off his best clothing and dresses himself as a slave or a servant. It says he takes the towel and wraps it around his waist. He takes a basin and fills it with water. And then he begins to wash his disciples' feet. Now, foot washing was very common during this time. If you lived in Palestine during Jesus' day, then it was commonplace for you to travel long distances in sandals. The conditions were hot. There would have been a lot of sand or dirt that would have gotten on your feet. And so it was very necessary for people to wash their feet, especially before a meal. In fact, refusing to provide foot washing if you were a host or a hostess was actually considered rude. We're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 7. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 7. Jesus is invited into the home of a Pharisee, and his name is Simon, but there's also another person who attends this time to share a meal, but she's not invited. It says in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment. So Jesus has been invited into the home of this man named Simon. He's a Pharisee. But then we have this other woman. It says that she is sinful. Exactly what she had done, we don't know. But what we do know is she had a reputation of some kind in the community that was frowned upon. And she was not welcome at this house. It says that she approaches Jesus, and this woman is heartbroken. She is crying. She's washing his feet. with her tears. She's drying his feet with her hair. And Simon, his response is disgust. He says, "What sort of prophet is this that would allow this woman to touch him?" And Jesus says, "Simon, I've got something to say to you." And then he tells him a parable. He says, "If someone owes 500 denarii or another person owes 50 and the debt of both is canceled, then which person will have the greatest love?" And Simon says, "Well, of course, the person who has the greatest love in their hearts." But what I want us to focus on is verse 44. Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment." Jesus is saying, "I came into your house, I'm your guest, and you're looking at this woman with contempt in your heart, with hatred, because she's done this beautiful thing for me, but you haven't washed my feet." Now, why does Jesus say that? Because this was expected. If you went to someone's house, then your feet were not clean. If they couldn't wash your feet themselves, then there would be a servant available to do that. We have very similar things that we do, right? Okay, you're invited over to someone's house, and you walk inside. Maybe it's winter time. They say, "May I take your coat? Or would you like something to drink before it's time to eat? Or here, let me show you where the restroom is, just in case you need to know where that is." So this is something that we do as well. We have our practices that we want to show hospitality with. Jesus is with his disciples, and there must have been an uncomfortable tension in the air. It's time to eat. They're all gathered around this table, reclining, and their feet are dirty. It makes you wonder, well, why doesn't someone just do something about it? Jesus is with his apostles, and their feet are dirty, and wouldn't it make sense if someone just stepped in and did that? You would think one of the apostles would be the ones to do it, right? Because Jesus is their Lord, and he's their master. But what had these apostles just been arguing about? Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 24. It says, "A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest." So this is a clue into what was on their hearts, or what they were thinking about when they were gathered around this table eating with Jesus. How does Jesus respond? Verse 25, he says, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as one who serves." Jesus is hitting on something that would be a thinking pattern that would be very true in our culture. Let's think about this. Okay, you have a restaurant scene, and five gentlemen are sitting at a table. They're all wearing suits and ties, and they look very dignified. And then you have a young college student who is serving these five men. A photographer is in the room, and he snaps a picture of what takes place. You take the photo, and just you're on the street, or you're at work, or wherever, and you just show the picture. And you say, "I want to ask you a question. Which person in this picture is the most important? Which person is the greatest?" Now, I think most people would be searching their mind trying to think, do I recognize one of those men? Is that a celebrity sitting there? Is it someone that owns a company? Trying to figure out which of these five guys is the greatest. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, brothers, in your eyes, yes, the person that's the greatest is the one who has a lot of people serving him and waiting on him. But I've come to you as one who serves. But the apostles, they have this talk with Jesus and they're still not getting it. Turn back to John 13. Who is it that rises from supper? It's Jesus. Jesus does. Jesus removes that outer garment. His apostles, they don't want to have any part, and they're looking at each other. Well, I'm not going to do it. You know, are you going to be the one to do it? Are you going to show all of us that you're really less? You're the one. You're not the greatest here. And Jesus, he takes off that outer garment and is dressed just like a slave. And then he picks up the towel and he has the water that's there available, and he begins to wash their feet. Verse 6. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Peter must have vocalized what the other apostles were thinking as well. Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus, do you understand what you're doing right now? Do you understand what you're saying? Don't you understand that if you take off your outer garment and dress like a slave and you wash my feet, that means you don't think that you're as great as what you are? Jesus says, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter, let me wash your feet. You don't understand what I'm doing right now, but you're going to understand. Again, what did we say at the very beginning? Jesus is just a few hours away from the cross. Jesus is saying to Peter, look, you're not getting it right now. I'm trying to love you. I'm trying to serve you in this way. I want to wash your feet. Peter, let me wash your feet. If you knew what was about to happen, then you would understand everything, but you don't. You don't understand that just a few short hours, I'm going to be doing something far, far more painful and difficult than this. I'm going to go to the cross for you. I'm going to die for you, Peter. Let me wash your feet. Isn't that the case for us sometimes? You don't understand right now, but you're going to understand. Isn't that what oftentimes God wants us to know? We have doubts, we have questions, we have things about God that we don't understand. What is he gently and tenderly saying to us? You don't understand right now, but you will understand. How does Peter respond? You shall never wash my feet. And then Jesus' response is rather scary. He says, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. I don't think that was the response Peter was expecting, but that's the one that Jesus provided. And he says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Peter perhaps is asking for more than what Jesus offered. Jesus says, Peter, I want to wash your feet. And Peter says, well, Lord, not just my feet, but also my head and my hands as well. Perhaps Peter was asking for more than what he asked for. The Lord declines. He says, Peter, we don't need to do that. If you've already bathed, then, you know, you only need for me to wash your feet. And then he says that you were clean, but one of you isn't. Who is he referring to? He's referring to Judas. Judas had already conspired in his heart to betray our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. I don't know exactly why Peter said to Jesus, well, Lord, wash also my head and wash my hands as well. I don't know why he said that, but what I do know is that he was refusing Jesus at every turn. What happens shortly after this? Jesus says to them after this meal, you all are going to fall away. And Peter's response is, Lord, if everyone else falls away, then I won't. So, we don't know exactly why Peter said that, but we do know that his heart wasn't exactly where it needed to be. Verse 12, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Jesus says, do you understand what I've done for you? I'm your Lord and your master and your teacher, and I have washed your feet. And what do I want you to do? I want you to go and do this for other people. Jesus is getting ready to send them out to the ends of the earth. Why is that? Because he's not going to be there forever. He's going to have to go back to the Father to be with him. Is this story about having clean feet or dirty feet, or having someone wash your feet or not wash your feet? No, it's not. Jesus says, I have given this example for you. Go and do likewise. The heart of this story is humility, a willingness to dethrone our pride and humbly serve other people. Like Jesus, we should be willing to lower ourselves in humble service to others. I want to share three reasons why we should go low in service to others. First, because Jesus did. Jesus left the comforts of heaven to humble himself, to be born into a manger, to walk on this earth for 33 years, and to be tempted as we are in all ways. And if Jesus can do that, if he can leave all of that, humble himself, then we can do the same thing. We can follow his example. And second, it's because it's the happiest way to live. Remember I mentioned that at the beginning of our sermon, the kids at Camp Rock Creek and the adults who were crying. Why were they crying? They were crying because what was happening that evening is the kids were saying things like, I love you, I'm sorry, or I forgive you. Whenever we're willing to humble ourselves before God, before each other, serve each other, then walls, they come down. Relationships are restored. They're renewed. They're better than they were ever before. Jesus says, blessed, in verse 17, blessed is the one who will do this. And number three, we should go low in our service because we are clean. Jesus says, you are clean. In the first three verses, Jesus had said, I'm going back to the Father. How did he get there? He got back to the Father through the cross. Yes, Jesus washed their feet. That was a beautiful thing. But what he was about to do a few hours later surpasses that in a way that we can't fully appreciate, no matter how long we're here on this earth. Jesus was nailed to the cross. He was despised. He was spat upon. He was rejected. He was mocked. And he did that so that you and I could be washed, sanctified, purified, set apart. That should be the most humbling
humbling concept to think about is Jesus giving himself fully and freely for us. And if that doesn't humble us and make us want to freely and wholly serve others, then I don't know what will inspire us to do that. If you are here this morning and you know that pride has been seizing your heart, it's been preventing you from serving other people, and you want to make that right, or if you maybe your heart isn't filled with pride, it's just filled with a longing to be closer to God and closer to your church family here, if you want to come forth for that reason, or if you know that you have looked upon the cross of Jesus with contempt and he hasn't been special in your heart and you want to put him on in baptism, then we want you to do that now as we stand and as we sing.
Softly and gently.